The good news, Irritable and Spiritual with Lisa Phillips will make you laugh and get you moving into the fabulous life you truly deserve. The bad news, Lisa promises to burst your excuses as to why you're not taking action and give you a kick up the bum to get you moving. Join Spiritual and Irritable for fun, honest, and inspirational life coaching show where Lisa Phillips will inspire you to let go of old baggage, release negative beliefs, set fabulously sexy goals, and share with you hundreds of other amazing action steps which will assist you in feeling great about yourself and your life. Lisa will also share her own personal story of how, as a life coach, she doesn't always practice what she preaches. Warning, this show is guaranteed to make you feel good about yourself and leave you with a smile on your face. Now, here is your host, Lisa Phillips.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world. It's big greetings from Lisa on the Spiritual and Irritable radio show. Now, I couldn't sleep last night. I am so excited about today's guest. She's a lady who I've followed her work for a long time, and I'm so blessed to have Beverly Engel on the Spiritual and Irritable radio show. Now, Beverly is the best-selling author of over 20 wonderful self-help books. She's a psychotherapist with over 30 years of experience, but I can promise you she doesn't look that old at all, and is an internationally recognized expert in the fields of abuse, women's issues, relationships, and sexuality. Now, Beverly has shared her expertise on many amazing television programs, including CNN, Oprah, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Ricky Lake. And she's a frequent keynote speaker and workshop leader at conferences throughout the world. So great show lined up for you today with Beverly. So Beverly, welcome to the Spiritual and Irritable show.
Oh, thank you. I love your the title of your show.
You know, I enjoy it as well because I think spirituality, a lot of people have that impression that we're all sort of like, you know, tree-hugging perfect people. And in fact, you know, nothing can be further than the truth. So, Beverly, again, thank you so much for being here today. And I wondered if you would be so kind as to share with our listeners a little bit more about the work that you do.
Well, I've worked with people who've been abused in every aspect of their life, either physically, sexually, or emotionally. But I have a particular interest in those who have been emotionally abused because a number of things. Number one, I was emotionally abused when I was a young girl. My mother was extremely critical, extremely dismissive. She would look at me with a scrutinizing look all the time, like, what are you up to? What trouble are you getting into? Very, very negative way of treating me. And it affected me very deeply. It caused me a great deal of shame, caused me to a great deal of anger and rage. I didn't feel like she saw me or understood me, but just made an assumption that I was a bad person. And so I had a lot of work to do myself in overcoming all of that. And I started therapy at a very young age. I didn't have very good therapists at first, but I finally did get a good therapist who I worked with for a number of years. And she was a very, very compassionate person, and I found that that's exactly what I needed. And as we talk today, I'm going to bring up compassion for self quite a lot because I believe that that's the answer to healing from emotional abuse is to create self-compassion for yourself. So anyway, that's where it originated. And then when I was working with abuse victims, like I said, of all kind, I kept finding that I had clients coming in, mostly female, who would describe their relationships, that they were having difficulties in their relationships, but they wouldn't come in saying that they were being emotionally abused. What they would do was they would come in and they would say that they don't know what's wrong with them, they could never please their partner's always unhappy, they don't know why they can't change and make their partner more happy, they don't know why they can't have sex with their husband. They don't know why they get so withdrawn. And it was over and over and over I heard the same story about women coming in and wanting to know what was wrong with them. And I began to realize, as I talked with them and asked them more questions, that they weren't doing anything wrong, that they had husbands who were being extremely critical, or boyfriends, extremely critical, who had unreasonable expectations, who made unreasonable demands upon them, and they had been so emotionally abused that they didn't even recognize it. They didn't even recognize what was happening to them. Their self-esteem had been damaged so much, and as we know, emotional abuse whittles away at the person's self-esteem until they cannot even trust their own perceptions. They don't trust themselves. They really begin to believe that all the things that they're being accused of are true. And so I finally realized this is a really particular kind of abuse that hasn't been talked about that much. And this was like 20 years ago. So I wrote one of the first books on emotional abuse called The Emotionally Abused Woman. And it was amazing how many people, wrote me letters. At the time, I didn't even have email, who wrote me letters and told me that they didn't know that there was such a thing called emotional abuse and that it changed their life because they came to realize that it wasn't something wrong with them at all. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, Lisa.
No, that's fabulous. And, Beverly, that resonates with me so much because listeners to my show will know that I was in an abusive relationship for a long time. And it wasn't until I started reading some of your work that I was able to say, hey, that's a pattern. That's what abusers do. It's not me. It's not that I'm losing my marbles or that, I'm not speaking in a language that they don't understand. It's actually a trait of an abuser. And like you said, emotional abuse can be really difficult to pinpoint. You do blame yourself and it eats away at your self-esteem until there's nothing left. And then, of course, the abuse continues and it just gets very, very difficult to do anything about it. So, thank you so much for that, Beverly. Now, that you mentioned sort of there about sort of identifying what an emotional abuser can be like. Can you just share with us perhaps some typical traits or some typical things that happen when you're in an emotional abusive relationship?
Well, there's all kinds of different emotional abusers, but very generally, we have to realize that these are usually very insecure people. They may cover it up with a lot of bravado. They may be very charming. They may be very charismatic. But after you get to know them a while, you either hear their story about their childhood or you begin to see their insecurity. And because of that insecurity, they become very possessive and very jealous. They're the kind of people who will begin to try to isolate you from your friends and your family. They're the kind of men who are going to want to know where you are at any given time. And if you don't answer the phone or you don't answer the text or whatever, they start accusing you of being with another man or whatever. They're people who need to be in control. And again, usually that comes from the fact that they don't really feel in control of their own life. So they try to control your life so that they can feel more confident and more comfortable. And they'll try to control, they want to be the one who decides where you go, what kind of restaurant you go to, how you spend your money, who you're going to associate with. They very often have a need to be in control over every aspect of the relationship. And in the beginning of a relationship, women very often mistake that for somebody who really loves them. For example, if no other man that they've been involved with ever seemed to care about what they wore, what kind of clothes they wore, what kind of makeup they wore, but this man seems to be very interested in it and tells them, you really should wear more bright colors or you really should have your hair cut. And the woman will go along with it again, thinking that that's an aspect of love, that he cares enough about her. But the more things she gives up, the more likely it is that he's going to take that for permission to become more and more controlling. And I write about that aspect of emotional abuse in the book I wrote called Loving Him Without Losing You, where I encourage women to not give up too much of themselves in the beginning of a relationship, because emotional abusers really do take that as permission to take more control. They often insist on that they are right, no matter how they're proven to be wrong. They are always right, will very seldom ever apologize or ever admit that they're wrong in any way. And they often use humor to put you down or degrade you, even in front of other people. I call that character assassination, where they'll actually, you know, you're at a dinner party with friends and they'll find ways, subtle ways, with humor, of course, and sarcasm, to put you down in front of other people. But on the other hand, they have no humor about themselves whatsoever. They can't see anything about themselves that is funny, or, you know, kind of admit that, you know, they can't laugh at themselves at all. So they're very serious about themselves, and at the same time putting you down with humor. And as I mentioned, they make unreasonable demands. Those demands might be that you stop seeing your family or your friends. It might be that you pay attention to them every minute of the day. When you're in their presence, you're supposed to be at their beck and call. Very often they make unreasonable demands regarding sexuality. You're supposed to want to be with them sexually no matter what goes on. They may have verbally abused you for 10 minutes just before, and now they suddenly want you to have sex with them. Or they may have criticized you all day long, and now all of a sudden you go to bed together and they're demanding sexually. They will often use what's called emotional blackmail if you don't give in to them and do what they want. For example, with sex, they will say things to you like, well, you know, if you don't give me the sex I need, I'm going to go elsewhere. So they'll use emotional blackmail. They'll threaten to leave you. They do all kinds of threats in order to get you to do what they want. So that's kind of in a nutshell, Lisa, what, you know, how the emotionally abusive man comes across, although there's different variations of it and different types of emotionally abusive men.
Well, Beverly, I think you've actually just described my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
I mean, everything you say in there is, I mean, I remember with my former partner, when I first started to date him, I've always been somebody that's got some fabulous male friends, but I remember my ex twisting that to say that I shouldn't see them anymore because he was protecting me from them. So again,
right.
You know, he was just saying to me, you know, it's in your best interests. You know, they want to be with you. And I'd be like, well, no, they're friends. I've had them for years. Oh, no, you don't understand what a man's like. You know, I'm being protective. So they can really twist the words around and leave you feeling absolutely. I used to be like, I felt I was going crazy. Because it's so confusing. So why do you think, actually, because that was an interesting point you said, why do you think abusers often come across as being so nice on the outside to other people, which I know is something that caused me a lot of issues, because often people would say, no, he's lovely, he's so nice. And I'd be thinking, well, you know, he's not nice to me. But when people say that, it confuses you because, again, you self-internalize it and you think it's all you. So why do they have this facade, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned it. They're manipulative, and they will kind of, you know, reel you in. They'll do whatever they have to impress you at first. They're very nice. They're very charismatic. They will look for your weaknesses. They will look for ways to impress you based on what other men have done wrong. They'll, you know, make sure that they look much better than other men. So it's all a manipulation. It's all a way to kind of hook you in so that you'll be involved with them. And I've talked to a lot of abusers, and they will actually say, they've said a couple of things that were really interesting to me. And one is that they consciously reel a woman in. They consciously hook her in by being very nice and polite or being whatever it is they think she wants them to be. And then once they get her, then they feel safe in going ahead and being themselves. And it doesn't, for some men, it doesn't take that long at all. Once he gets her committed to him, then he feels free to do whatever he wants and to say whatever he wants. Others take a little bit longer time. But they've also shared with me that they don't respect the women. They're out there looking for a particular kind of woman. They're looking for a woman that they think will allow them to control them. And so once they get her, they don't respect her. It's like they don't respect anybody that's going to be with them. And then that's why they turn and become their real selves.
That's very interesting because that's so true. And I think that comes down, we can talk about that a little bit later. But often they do pick them out and you become prey. And often that is because of a lack of self-respect, perhaps in our own selves, that lead to
right.
perhaps these abuses disrespecting us in the first place. So, yeah, I know with my partner, he was virtually Prince Charming for the first month. But then there comes this cycle of abuse, Beverly. And I don't know if you can tell us a little bit more about that. When we go from, they can be incredibly wonderful 1 minute, and then the abuse will start, and it will build up, and then there's the argument, and then they can start to be nice again. So you go round and round in this cycle of abuse. So can you share with us your thoughts about that?
Yes, that is real typical for emotional abuse and physical abuse. There is the cycle of abuse where they start out being nice, and then they get more and more cruel or more and more offensive. And then once you stand up for them, or once they've really lost it, in the case of a physical abuse, once they have beaten the woman up, then they will be very apologetic, and they're afraid they're going to lose her, and she may even be going through the motions of leaving. And then it's kind of like they start over again, they reboot, and they turn the charm on again. And again, what's interesting is abusers will say they actually do respect and love the woman more when she stands up for herself. You know, they're pretty screwed up, okay, because they want to be in control and they want to be able to be abusive. But once she stands up for them, they truly do respect and love her more. And then she takes them back, and then they disrespect her, and they know they can get away with it. And they let themselves go again. So that's part of the cycle, is that with physical abuse in particular, is that there's the honeymoon period, of course, where everything's wonderful. Then he becomes abusive. Then she, and if with emotional abuse, she may take a stand and say, okay, I've had it with you. I'm not going to let you treat me this way anymore. And then he may actually respect her a little bit more and may actually be a good boy for a while. But then his own problems, his own anger, his own need to dominate come up in him, and he can't control it in the sense that he can't push it down enough, and so his negative traits start coming out again. And so that's why it looks like a cycle, because he can't really control his negative issues, and they come up over and over and over. So that's why it looks like a cycle, because she forgives. That gives him permission to do it again, you know, then she threatens to leave, and then he becomes good again. We also hear about, on the energetic level, physically abused women will talk about this, but it's the same for emotionally abused women. The woman will actually feel the tension growing. She'll actually sense that abuse is going to occur. And very often she'll go ahead and say something or do something to go ahead and get it over with. And then he'll be abusive and then be apologetic, and then they'll have the honeymoon period, and it continues. Women are sometimes accused of actually causing the abuse because they've gone ahead and said or done something that they know is going to make him angry. But that's not the case. They just can't live with the tension. They just can't live with knowing that it's coming but not knowing exactly when. And they'd rather go ahead and get it over with, so they'll say or do something. So that's part of that cycle of abuse as well.
And do you think, Beverly, as well, sometimes if we just sort of try and get the abuse over and done with, do you think there's hope then maybe that in some way they're hoping for some love perhaps in the honeymoon period? You know, just
sure.
Just happy to have a little bit of love? Yeah.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, they'd rather endure the abuse for a little while, and then get back to a time. For some people it's longer, for some people it's shorter. But they'll know then, they're guaranteed a time period where he's going to be remorseful and he's going to be nice to them and they're not going to have to worry about it again for a while. Sure.
Gosh. And I know...
And then when they're nice, they're very, very nice sometimes, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How true is that? Very, very nice. Because I know for myself, I left... It took me 7 times to leave my partner.
Wow.
Because I kept getting hooked back in. Like you said, I'd get strong enough. I'd think, okay, this is it. I can't take it anymore. And I would leave. But then they'd start the whole, I love you, I'm sorry,
yeah,
please come back to me. My partner used to wait and stalk me basically outside of the office. I'd get 100 phone calls a day. And sometimes it was because I believed him, but I think sometimes it was because it was so exhausting. It was so exhausting to listen to it. It was so exhausting to have him outside my workplace crying his eyes out. And I was so exhausted with the abuse and had so little self-esteem left that in some way it just became easier to go back. So,
yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why do people find it so difficult to leave? And then if they do leave, they go back again.
Yeah. It's not the same for every single woman. Every single woman has her own issues. I talk about that in my books a lot, about looking back on your childhood, looking back on your patterns. There's an exercise I have women do where I have them write down the characteristics of their partner and then write down the characteristics of each of their parents. So like make 3 columns. One column is for writing down the characteristics of their current abusive partner, one column for their mother, one column for their father, or whoever it was that raised them. And then I have them compare the 3 columns. And very often they will find that there's a lot in common between their abusive parent and their abusive partner. And again, I use abusive very loosely because they wouldn't necessarily think of their parent as being abusive, but once they start circling the similarities between their parent and their partner, they begin to see that maybe this really did start early on in childhood, where maybe the father was domineering either toward them or toward their mother. Maybe the father was possessive. Maybe the father had to control everything and, control money and control where the mother went. So they'll begin to see a pattern. And, Freud called that the repetition compulsion, where, unconsciously we repeat the patterns of our childhood. Unconsciously we choose a man who is somewhat like either our abusive mother or abusive father in order to try to do it right, this time. We want another chance with the same kind of person to somehow come out with a different result. And we're not consciously doing that, but it's pretty miraculous how we pick partners over and over until we've worked through our childhood, who are very much like a parent. So that's always going on with every woman, every man, But to answer your question in a more realistic, more kind of simplistic way, we know that emotional abuse really does. It is like brainwashing a person until they don't trust their perceptions anymore. We've talked about that. They don't have very much self-confidence left or self-worth. They don't trust their own ideas. They start, they have had heard so much berating and belittling and been intimidated so much that they, they're really at a low in their life. So, it's always difficult to leave a partner. And if we have a partner who has really just devastated us emotionally, it's even all the more difficult to leave. We have to have a certain amount of self-esteem in order to feel confident enough to leave. And if a woman has children or she doesn't have a good career or she hasn't been able to work because he hasn't wanted her to work, those things can just add to the difficulty. And on top of it, a lot of women are afraid to be alone and they're afraid to go out on their own in the world. That could be another issue that comes up. And another really common issue that comes up is that what can happen sometimes is that a couple can create what is called a trauma bond, where, you know, when you first get together with a partner, a new partner, and you fall in love, you tell each other your stories. You tell each other your childhood stories and maybe your stories about past partners, and you cry and you hold each other and, you know, you get really close learning about each other. And if a woman has never really had anybody listen to her before, if she's never had anybody understand her before, and this guy does, this guy seems to really care, and he seems to really want to understand what happened to her, that's very powerful. You know, she's not going to want to let go of that, especially if she felt neglected or abused in childhood. This guy is the only one that she's ever received any, you know, real caring from. You know, no matter how he treats her, she's going to have a hard time letting go of that.
That is actually, that's a really interesting thing, because I can see, you know, if somebody has had some neglect or haven't had somebody listen to them before, and all of a sudden there's this person here who's sympathizing and empathy, and I can see how that would really keep somebody hooked in. That's a really interesting point. I know you've sort of written over 20 books, Beverly. But where would that one be covered? Because I want to find out more about that myself, actually.
I think I covered that in my book, Healing Your Emotional Self.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. And
in that book, Healing Your Emotional Self, it's for people who were emotionally abused, but it's talking about how to heal an emotionally abusive childhood. All my other books are about adult women and, you know, who are in abusive relationships. But this one is really for adult women and men who had emotionally abusive parents. And so it teaches you how to go back and heal those original abusive relationships.
I am a huge believer in that if you actually do want to heal the abuse and perhaps sort of get out and stay out of abuse and not keep going back into relationships like that, that you really need to work on yourself first. I know sort of from the work that I do with abused women, I find a lot of people particularly are trying to change their partner. Well, in fact, I know
right.
What actually worked for me was digging into my own shame, to my own negative belief systems, and actually looking why I was prey or perhaps why I was attracted to these sort of guys. So, yeah, what do you think about that, Beverly? Do you think our own belief systems can sort of cause us to sort of stay hooked and attract these types of relationships?
Oh, absolutely. In the nice girl syndrome, I talk about, like I mentioned earlier, I think that women, and just women per se, have a lot of beliefs that kind of set them up to be abused. And some of the beliefs, the false beliefs, are, number one, other people's feelings and needs are far more important than my own. We can recognize that, you know, girls today are still being raised that way, to believe that we're supposed to take care of other people's feelings first. Number two, if I'm nice and maybe unfair to other people, they will be nice and fair to me. That's kind of a core belief that a lot of people have, but especially women and girls have. It's kind of a naive belief that if we're good and nice and fair, people will be nice and good and fair to us. You mentioned, that's why I like the title of your show so much about spirituality and irritability or whatever, because there's a spiritual belief that if we treat people with kindness and compassion and are good to other people, we're going to get that back. Well, yes, there's a lot of truth to that. Certainly the way we treat others is going to affect the average person. But when you talk about an abusive person, that no longer works. That no longer is true. The nicer you are sometimes to abusive people, the more abusive they're going to treat you. Because again, it's that idea that they have that they don't respect people who are nice to them. They don't respect people who allow them to walk all over them. And so if you're going on the assumption, and there's a lot of abused women who do, that, you know, I'm going to change him. If I just am nice to him and good to him, he's eventually going to see how much I love him, and he's eventually going to change. And it does not necessarily work that way at all, unfortunately. So that's a really a false belief. Another one is, what other people think about me is more important than my own self-esteem, my health, or even my safety. If we think about women again, we put ourselves in dangerous situations. We put ourselves in compromising situations coming from that belief that, you know, it's so important what other people think of me. You know, I've had women tell me stories about, you know, how they stopped and gave a man instructions or whatever because they didn't want him to think that they were snobbish. And then he ended up, you know, stealing her car or abducting her. You know, so we'll even put our safety at risk just so some stranger won't think something bad of us, you know? It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Another one is, if I am good and perfect, I will be accepted and loved. That's a real common one with women. If I act naive and innocent, people will take care of me and I won't have to grow up. That's true for some women. I don't have the right to stand up for myself or act on my own behalf. Anger is a destructive emotion and shouldn't be expressed, especially directly to those with whom you are angry. Women have a real difficult time being assertive and even being angry and letting someone know that what their behavior is not okay with them. It is better to avoid conflict at all costs. That's a huge one that women still have. The women that wrote about Odd Girl Out and Mean Girls and the whole concept about how girls are mean to each other. You know, we also realize that women are mean to each other, but they won't stand up with men. You know, they'll do it behind somebody's back with another female, but they won't stand up to men. They don't want the conflict. They're afraid of the conflict. Another one is, there is good in everyone, and if I give someone enough chances, he will generally eventually show it to me. Okay? And then the last one is, women need men to protect them and support them financially. And we still have women who are raised to believe that they have to have a man in their life, that they really can't make it on their own. So those are the 10 beliefs I talk about in the Nice Girl Syndrome that are really, really common with women, and yet that set them up to be manipulated and sometimes even abused.
They are fabulous. I'm just going to go out and get your book because everything you said there was me and is still me in some ways. I mean, I have done a lot of work on clearing my negative beliefs in order to grow assertiveness and to be able to get out my relationship. But really interesting, when you said some of those beliefs, particularly for me, was the one about, you know, if I'm nice to other people, then, you know, I deserve it and they will be nice to me back. And unfortunately, there are people out there who will screw you. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how nice you are to them. You know, it doesn't, and I think I always expect that, you know, that whole spiritual thing about what you give out and you get back, or that, you know, I've got to be nice to people. I shouldn't be harsh to them. You know, I should always be the nice girl. And
right.
It doesn't really get us anywhere, does it, a lot of the time? So, that book for me being a
bore. It certainly doesn't if it
appears.
Right. Yeah. It certainly, these beliefs don't work when you're with an abusive person, for sure.
No, and I actually think that not just for women that perhaps are in abusive relationships, but that's a really good set of beliefs for any woman to actually look into and say, hey, you know, because by changing those beliefs, you're going to have a far better chance of, you know, really respecting yourself, loving yourself, having good boundaries in place. And also, you know, we treat people how to treat us, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if we can learn to respect ourselves. So, I recommend people go out there, buy this book, The Nice Girl Syndrome. You can get it on Beverly's website, which I'll talk about a little bit more. But, you know, I'm really enjoying this interview. So just a couple more questions for you, Beverly, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, for example, if there's people listening to this show now, and they've listened to what you've said, and, you know, they're actually feeling, okay, I get it, I really want to get out, or, you know, have you got perhaps just two or three tips you could give to people who are perhaps suffering from emotional abuse in their relationships right now?
Well, you know, you can't force yourself to leave until you're really, really clear about the damage it's causing you. And so what I advise women to do, and first of all, women are in denial a lot about what's happening to them. So the first step I ask them to take is to start making a list of all the things that he does that feel abusive to you. And if you can't, and if you don't know what that means, then make a list of all the times when you feel hurt or when you feel devastated by what he's said or what he's done. And keep that ongoing list. And when you get to the place where you start to get in denial because he's being really sweet and really nice, go back and reread that list. And that is not, I'm not doing that, I'm not suggesting that so that you don't forgive or you don't move on, but that so that you remember what you are enduring every day and that what you endured a week ago and what you endured 2 weeks ago, so that you begin to come out of denial and realize this is really an abusive relationship. So step one is they've got to admit to themselves that they're being abused. And if that means reading my books or other people's books on emotional abuse and really getting what the definition of abuse is and really beginning to see that, that's really important. The second thing is to start to recognize how the emotional abuse is damaging you. In what ways is it damaging you? So you can start writing down some examples of how you think it's affecting you and damaging you. And you can read in my book and other people's books how it's damaging you. It, most importantly, of course, we know it damages your self-esteem. But look for other ways that you are experiencing damage. And then the other thing will be to start building yourself up enough so that you can leave. And the best way to do that is to start, and I started the talk today with this, that to start having compassion for yourself. You probably have far too much compassion for the abuser. You can excuse his behavior. You remind yourself of what his childhood was like. You tell yourself he doesn't mean it. I want you to start having that same compassion for yourself, where you say, okay, how can I have compassion for what I've gone through in life, for my childhood, for what happened to me? Instead of being critical of yourself for being in an abusive relationship, remind yourself of why you are there. What brought you to this point in your life? And then start catching yourself when you're being negative and critical to yourself. Unfortunately, people who are being abused start treating themselves in the same ways. They take on the abuser's voice. They take on the abuser's beliefs. And they start talking to themselves in very negative ways. So try to catch your own self-talk. And when you hear yourself being critical, try to turn those messages around into something like, I'm doing the best I can, or I understand why I did that, I'm going to work on changing it, but some positive statement to replace the negative statements. And this is not easy. This is very difficult work about changing your negative beliefs about yourself. We haven't talked about this very much, but in the book Healing Your Emotional Self, I talk about how there's also beliefs that people will get from the way they were treated by their parent. So some will get the message that I'm unlovable. Some will get the message that I'm never going to be successful. You know, there's different messages that they will get from childhood, and they'll need to start turning those around later on. But the ones that need to turn around right now are the ones that are keeping them in their relationship. And they need to ask themselves, what really is stopping me? Am I afraid of being alone? And really being honest about that. If that's what's keeping you there, then look at possibly trying to go to a support group, maybe doing some of the things that you're offering, Lisa, so that you don't feel so isolated. Go to a women's center and join a group. Reach out to other people who are experiencing the same thing so you don't feel so isolated, so you don't feel so alone, and so that when you eventually leave, you'll have some support It's very important to have support when you leave. And if you don't have any, you might not be able to leave. So those are the main things I would advise someone to do.
Yeah, I think that support is so key. I mean, I joined a support group, and I found it so valuable to be able to talk to other people who had actually been in the same situation as I am. And I know that there's some listeners today who are part of a Facebook group about emotional and verbal abuse as well. And I know I go into there sometimes, and I think it's such a great thing that people are able to support themselves through this. And a few of the women who are actually on that Facebook support group, one of the common themes that's been coming up, and I'd like to sort of ask you a question about this, Beverly, is a few of the lovely ladies have actually managed to leave their abusive partners. But now that they've left, they're sort of struggling with learning new positive ways of thinking and behaving, because it's been brainwashing for so long that now that they have left, they're actually finding it, you know, quite difficult to live their life. And is that sort of, is that normal afterwards? And perhaps could you sort of share something that they could do? Because I don't know, for me, I feel so proud of these ladies that have actually got the courage to leave. And it would just be so good if we could just help them out a little bit about perhaps how can they start to instill some new positive ways of behavior into their lives.
Yeah. Again, the most important thing is to create self-compassion and to replace those negative messages. It takes a while. And yes, to answer your question, Lisa, it's very common. And a lot of women do go back because they feel like they can't really trust themselves, or they get afraid that they're not going to be able to manage on their own. You know, they start losing touch with, they need to be reminded of what they endured, because they'll start to forget, and they'll start to go out in the world and try to get a job or try to make friends and run into some obstacles, and all of a sudden the abusive partner doesn't look so bad because, you know, they've forgotten what it was that they endured. So again, I always ask them to go back and read their list of how they were abused, to keep working on creating self-compassion and creating new beliefs about themselves. You know, they need to find out what are their major beliefs. Is that I'm unlovable? Is that nobody will ever want me? Is it that I will never be successful? You know, what do they really basically, what is the core belief that they have based on their childhood? And I'm not trying to sell a book, but I really do think my book, Healing Your Emotional Self, is one of the best I've written. And it does give you a blueprint for how to go back into your childhood and find those beliefs that you had about life and kind of what got you into the emotionally abusive relationship in the first place. Get support, remind yourself of the emotional abuse. What's so great about support is you can talk to other women who've gone through it, and you'll minimize what happened, but they will tell you the truth. They will say, oh my God, that's horrible the way he talked to you, or that's horrible the way he treated you. And you need to be reminded of that constantly, because it's so easy to go back in denial, forget about it, and go back to him. So it's very, very common to have doubts. I encourage them to give themselves time, continue getting support, continue working on themselves and working on their childhood issues, and continue working on that self-compassion. So that's the most important part.
Beautiful, because you do have to heal yourself, because I think there's a risk of if people do leave and they haven't done this work, they're either going to end up back in that same relationship, or they may then attract a similar sort of relationship as well. So that book, Beverly, is Healing Your Emotional Self.
Yes.
That's the one?
Yeah, I mean, that
sounds fabulous. We've got to heal these beliefs inside of us. And, you know, don't think that it's a scary thing to do, because I always think being in that relationship was the scariest thing that I've ever done. So, you know, if you can stay in this sort of relationship, if you can put up with abuse every day of your life, then you can absolutely absolutely work through Beverly's book and heal your emotional self. I mean, that will be, it will be probably a lot of work, but great work, and also maybe a bit easier than actually staying in an abusive relationship as well. And you owe it to yourself at the end of the day. I knew I could have never got out unless I'd have worked on myself. I would probably still be in there, which is a really scary thought. So, Beverly,
right.
Your advice that you've given today has been absolutely priceless. Your knowledge is amazing. I love all the work that you do. Now, do you do one-on-one sessions now, or is most of your work through your book and interviews? So how can people get hold of you if they need some help?
I do one-on-one sessions. In fact, I do telephone counseling all over the world. And people can go to my website, www.beverlyingle.com, and they could find out about how to get telephone counseling. And I love to do it. I thought at first it wouldn't work. People were asking me for it, and I thought, well, if I couldn't see the person directly in front of me and get particular cues, I wouldn't be able to do it. But actually, I guess it's like how a blind person works, that my other senses kind of take over, and I'm able to really help people in a kind of an exceptional way. In a relatively short amount of time, we kind of get on the same page, and I kind of get a sense of them and can make suggestions and give them some homework to do. It's probably like somewhat like the coaching that you do, I suppose, and it's very effective. So they can just go to my website and find out about that.
I'm a big believer, actually, Beverly, in phone coaching. I used to be a little bit worried about it myself, but I do a lot of that now, and it's great, actually. It's really good, and, you know, I would really recommend to the listeners of this show, don't wait another 10, 20, 30 years to get help. You do not want to still be in that relationship when you are 70 years of age. Get help now, and you can have that life that you deserve. I mean, I mentioned this the other week on the show, but I was speaking recently to a friend of mine who's in an abusive relationship, and she said to me, my chance of happiness is gone. I will never have happiness in my life again. And that really saddened me, because it's not true. You can get help, and I recommend people, you know, contact Beverly, look at her website. It's great. It tells you a lot of information about herself. You can see all the great work she's done. You can get her books. You know, there's lots of information on there. So you have a subscribe to as well. Do you have a newsletter? Or I noticed you've got a subscription.
I have a newsletter, and I haven't kept up with it. I've been doing so much traveling that I didn't keep up with it, but I'm going to get back to it.
Great stuff. Well, that would be useful for people to join as well. So anything, any last words for our listeners, Beverly?
Just also maybe to remember that your children are affected by you being abused as well. They see it. They hear it. They see it. They experience it. And it's, believe me, it's going to affect them one way or another as well. They're either going to become more like victims and be more likely to have other people treat them that way, or they will become an abusive person. So, you know, we've learned that research tells us that children who witness family violence, and they include emotional abuse in that, are affected the same as if they had physically been abused themselves. So remember, you know what you were saying, that a woman who doesn't think that she ever is going to have happiness again, I certainly think she can have happiness, but I also want to remind her that she doesn't want her children to have to continually live with somebody who's emotionally abusing their mother.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you do hear people say that I'm staying for the children. And in fact, that's probably the worst thing you can do, because like you said, they will grow up to be abusers themselves, because unfortunately they're soaking up everything that's going on around the house, aren't they? They're basically you know, just as if it's okay.
Right, exactly.
Gosh. Beverly, thank you. Absolutely.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Great interview. Your knowledge is amazing, like I said. Absolutely fabulous. I would love, love, love to have you on the show again going forward, because it's been a huge pleasure for me today. Thank you so much, because I know you haven't been feeling the best. Have a wonderful weekend, and I shall speak to you very, very soon. Thank you so much.
Okay, Lisa, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. So, everybody, really, really, you know, listen to Beverly's interview. It's fabulous. She's a world leader in what she does. You know, her advice, you don't get any better than that. So please listen. You do owe it to yourself. You are worth it. You can do this. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your children. And please, you know, contact Beverly, contact myself. And thank you so much for listening to the Spiritual and Irritable radio show. And I shall speak to you all very, very soon. Take care.
Wow, you've been listening to Spiritual and Irritable with Lisa Phillips. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more laughter, more breakthroughs, and the fabulous life you truly deserve. Get ready to burst your excuses, take action, and get moving now. Join Spiritual and Irritable each week for a fun, honest, and inspirational life coaching show. For more information or to receive a copy of Lisa's ebook, Amazing Coaching DIY, Do It Yourself, visit amazingcoaching.com.au. That's amazingcoaching.com.au. See you next week. Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world. Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact disease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com. The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
What would it feel like to let go of a painful story that causes suffering? Discover how love is greater and more powerful than fear, anger, doubt, worry, or grief. Superior to any story about your life that causes suffering, there is a story of love waiting for you. Can you imagine a story without judgment? A story of forgiveness? A story that releases "I can't" and proclaims "I can." Imagine a story where you let go of what was and embrace what is and create what you want for the future. The first 25 audience members to contact Dana at danafrost.com and inquire about the Pay It Forward, Pay What You Can coaching promotion are invited to a one-hour power-packed coaching session or two 30-minute coaching sessions. You simply pay what you can afford to pay. In the subject line, please input Pay What You Can coaching inquiry.
Do you feel like you need proven leadership because your life is losing its desired direction? Do you need affordable private coaching that will work for you and your schedule? If you've ever felt stuck in an uncomfortable life situation, here's the answer. Based on years of experience in life coaching, Lisa Phillips has written the amazing Coaching DIY Do-It-Yourself Manual. If you haven't heard of Lisa Phillips yet, you should. She's a certified neuro-linguistic programmer, and she regularly contributes to top self-improvement magazines around the world. Many people know what they would like to change in their lives, but don't have the knowledge or the resources on how to do something about it. This book reveals everything you need to know, from achieving exciting goals to identifying and releasing toxic emotions. With Lisa's ebook, everyone can easily take action to feel good right away. Get your copy now at amazingcoaching.com.au. That's amazingcoaching.com.au.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Oh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat! How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Wouldn't you love to live in simple gratitude for each moment of your life? When gratitude is integrated in life, it uplifts your own sense of well-being at a very deep level, and you create each day with wonder and passion. Gratitude expressed daily gives us wings to fly towards its highest summits. By writing your 5 gratitudes a day in your journal, you open yourself up to new possibilities to live your life to the fullest. Wishing you a day filled with the essence of gratitude. to get your gratitude journal and bungee bookmark infused with the essence of gratitude, visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.